ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिम् पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु
प्लीज ऑल ऑफ यू से दिस
ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शांति शांति शांतिः
सी टुडे इज an important day. Important day. Every day is important day only. But today, what's special about today? If you ask, the Jupiter changes, moves. Every year Jupiter moves. Once a year, every month Sun moves. Every 2.5 days, Moon moves. From one house to other house. One place to other place. Every 2.5 days, Moon moves. Every 1 month, Sun moves. Every 2.5 years, Saturn moves. Every year, or every 1.5 years, this shadow planets move, Rahu Ketu. Every 1 year, this Jupiter moves. Jupiter, the Deva Guru, this movement really tells what we have in our Prarabdha. So, this is the day we really pray. We pray to Bhagavan Dakshinamurti. He is a Devata. To tackle the ill effects or the good effects, to manage the good effects or to tackle the ill effects, shown by the planetary movement, positional change. We pray to Dakshinamurti. It's good to dress Thursday also. That's why it's good for you all to think of Dakshinamurti. Pray, and then you can start, because we're beginning a first class on Guru Parichi Day. So you cannot pray. And then even when we chant the Shanti Mantra Sahana Bhavatu, people always know the meaning very well. Mechanically they know the meaning. It doesn't sink in, really. Now Saha means together. And the total commitment is very important. Sahana Bhavatu సహనౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై. ది సహ నో మే వి డూ టుగెదర్ థింగ్స్. ద కమిట్మెంట్ ఈస్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్. హోప్ యూ ఆల్ నో ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ వర్స్. బెటర్ గో బ్యాక్ అండ్ దెన్ రియలీ సీ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ సహనాభవతు రిపీటెడ్లీ. సీ వెదర్ యూ హ్యావ్ రియలీ అండర్స్టుడ్ దట్ మీనింగ్. That meaning has to go in. You must have heard many times, no? The meaning of that mantra. Everybody seems very simple. Osahana, osahana bunaktu. You know the meaning. That mantra, such it so much it says. If that meaning goes in, then there'll be total commitment. I'll redo the mantra, meaning otherwise some other class. Tirtva moharnavam hatva.
Tirtva moharnavam hatva.
Ragadveshadi rakshasan.
Ragadveshadi rakshasan.
Yogi shanti samayuktaha.
Yogi shanti samayuktaha.
Atma Ramo Virajate.
Atma Ramo Virajate.
Yogi. Yogi, here is a jnani. In this context, the word yogi here means jnani. Because we have this word jnana yogi, karma yogi. The people who are given to two different lifestyles,
is Karma Yogi, Jnana Yogi. Karma Yogi is the one who for whom Purushartha is moksha, the one who is committed to live, one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. But the one who works for preparing his mind for knowledge is a Karma Yogi. Whereas a Jnana Yogi is the one for whom moksha is the ultimate end, say moksha is the end, and who is also totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and so who lives a life, who lives a life of contemplation, which means whose mind is dwelling upon subject matter of the Shastra. He is a Jnana Yogi. So Karma Yogi one day will become a Jnana Yogi. So Jnana Yogi will become who? A Jnani. Jnani means yogi. We don't say Karma Yogi or Jnana Yogi, a yogi. So in this context, yogi means a wise person. Yogi virajate. Yogi virajate. Yogi just lives his life, shines. How does a yogi live? How does a wise person live? Atma Ramaha virajate. He lives as what? How does he live? Yogi Atma Ramaha virajate. Atma Ramaha means the one who revels in one's own nature, one's own swarupam. See, reveling in one's own swarupam, one's own nature means the one who is the one who revels in oneself, the one who has objectivity in life. How do you know the person revels in oneself, revels in one's own real nature? The one who is objective. The one who is objective is the one who revels in one's own self. It is impossible for one to be totally objective unless a person revels in one's own self. Objectivity. So the person who revels in one's own real nature of fullness, for the one for whom the meaning of the word self, I, and happiness or fullness are not two different things. Who is a wise person? Atma Ramaha means what? The one who revels in oneself. The one who revels in oneself means what? The one who revels in oneself means the one who is objective. One who has objectivity. Which means the one for whom happiness or fullness is the very self. Which means he need not do anything for happiness or fullness. He need not achieve anything. He need not, the one who does not miss anything for his happiness is the one who revels in oneself, one's own real nature. And who is the one who can revel in oneself? Who is the one who can be objective? Who is the one for whom the happiness is his very nature? The very meaning of the word I is happiness for him. The meaning of the word I is for him consciousness, which means fullness or happiness. And the such a person who is totally independent of anything and everything, the world emotionally. And he is Atma Ramaha. So this yogi, Atma Ramaha virajate. This yogi lives as the one who revels in oneself. Atma Ramaha virajate. And the one who revels in oneself, how is he then? Shanti Samayuktaha. Shanti Samayuktaha means the one for whom peace is inseparable. The one who is endowed with, absolute peace. Shanti Samayuktaha. Shanti Yuktaha means one who is with peace. One who is endowed with peace. Samayuktaha, Samayuktaha means what? The one for whom peace is inseparable. The absolute peace, happiness, fullness, consciousness, self are not different things for him. For him, substance or the substantive, I is consciousness. Fullness is this substance. For him, absolute peace is the very self. That was Shanti Samayuktaha, the one who is endowed with the peace, but means no situation, external situation, can really disturb him, can shake him. No external situation can shake him, disturb him. Shanti Samayuktaha Atma Ramaha Yogi Virajate. And such a person, how is it possible for him to be endowed with absolute peace, to have peace as his own very swarupam, to have fullness as his very nature, to revel in that fullness, one's own real nature? How is it possible for him? Because he says, Ragadveshadi Rakshasan Hatva. Because Moha Arnavam Tirtva. No, he has crossed over the ocean of delusion. He is no more sinking in delusion. He has crossed over the ocean of delusion. Which means he has overcome delusion. He is free from delusion. Moha Arnavaha. Arnavaha means ocean. Moha Arnavam Tirtva. Tirtva is an indeclinable participle. Having crossed, having overcome the ocean of delusion, which means what? Being completely free from delusion. He is no more deluded. What is delusion? Lack of discriminative understanding of what is absolutely real, what is as though real, what is empirically real, what is absolutely real, what is relatively real, what is absolutely real, what is real, what is as though, what is satyam, what is mithya. That is so clear. That one who is endowed with the discriminative knowledge of what is satyam, what is mithya, other than Atma, Brahman, the consciousness, everything else is just the thought, vritti. You know, everything else is only in the vritti. Everything is, everything comes and goes, mithya. Nothing is permanent, nothing is satyam here for him. Other than the self, everything else is as though. So that is called what? The discriminative knowledge. Being endowed with that discriminative knowledge or being discriminative is what? Actually having crossed the ocean of delusion. Being free from delusion. So, Moha Arnavam Tirtva. How was it possible for him to cross the ocean of delusion? Because of his clear vision of what Satyam is. What Satyam is not. He is very clear about what Satyam is not. What is not real becomes very clear first. Then what is real becomes very, very clear later on. What is real, what is not real, it becomes very clear. And for that jnanam, how is it possible for him to have that vision? Because ragad dveshadi rakshasan hatva. Because first, He is free from the hold of likes and dislikes. Having killed the demons in the form of raga and dvesha. Having killed the demons in the form of raga and dvesha. And having crossed the ocean of delusion. This wise person revels in one's own self. Being endowed with absolute peace. This is the literal meaning of this verse. So, yes, raga, dvesha, likes and dislikes are said to be demons. Because the one who all the time troubling, all the time, really affecting your well-being, the one who affects your well-being, affects your health, emotional health, mental health, one who disturbs you is called Rakshasa. Who is Rakshasa? So we also say Rakshasa means generally human beings, you know, who go against dharma for the sake of enjoyment of pleasures in life are called Rakshasas. The enjoyment of usurping the artha for achieving or acquiring artha, if they go against dharma, they are called Rakshasaha. For the sake of enjoyment of pleasures, if they go against dharma, they are called Asuraha. We differentiate Rakshasas and Asuras. The wrongdoers, the wicked people, are classified as Rakshasaha and Asuraha. If a person goes against dharma, no, artha is the end for him. Somehow I want to achieve artha. To achieve artha, I do anything wrong. Now, if a person thinks and goes against dharma for the sake of artha, he is a rakshasa. The person goes against dharma for the sake of enjoyment of his pleasures, then he is asura. Okay, and here he says in this verse, you know, ragadveshas are also asuras. It's a rakshasas. There are demons. So these ragadveshas, so the asura or rakshasa, they never let you remain calm, quiet and serene, tranquil. I tell you, the desire for accomplishing artha or kama, fulfilling artha kamas, through wrong means, one will be highly disturbed. Therefore, they affect your well-being, the rakshasas. Similarly, the likes and dislikes are also rakshasas. Because likes and dislikes, when they'll churn your mind, they'll drive you to go against dharma, or they'll chase you to do something or other until you achieve something, what you want to achieve. Because the ragadveshas are seen as rakshasas. So ragadveshadi rakshasan hatva means having killed the ragadveshas, means what? Having become completely free from the hold of likes and dislikes. Killing the ragadveshas means take a knife and killing them, literally. Freeing oneself from the hold of ragadveshas, which means freeing oneself from the hold of likes and dislikes. How can one free oneself from the hold of likes and dislikes? Freeing oneself from the hold of likes and dislikes means becoming free from the hold of desires. Becoming free from the hold of desires means what? Reveling in. Now, becoming free from the hold of needs. Freeing oneself from needs means what? Freeing oneself from the sense of inadequacy centered on I. Freeing oneself from the sense of inadequacy centered on I means, what does it mean? Reveling in fullness. Reveling in fullness means having discovered fullness or happiness as one's own real nature. So, you can understand this, no? Reveling in one's own nature, having discovered one's own real swarupam, nature, being fullness, is reveling in fullness. Reveling in fullness means freeing oneself from the sense of inadequacy centered on I. So freeing oneself from the sense of inadequacy centered on I means actually freeing oneself from desires. Freeing oneself from desire, being free from desires. Being free from desires means being free from the hold of likes and dislikes. And being free from the hold of likes and dislikes means what? Being serene, absolutely tranquil, which means being free from delusion also. So being wise means being free from delusion and being free from the hold of disease, ragadvish, likes and dislikes. So you don't need to work any very hard to really undo disease. You become free from the hold of disease. In the wake of the knowledge, you become free from the hold of delusion. The delusion goes leaving you away. And such a person is the yogi, one who is endowed with absolute peace, and he is the Atma Ramaha. virajate. Okay, these are about the wise person. Actually, here this verse actually is exactly what is said in Ramayana about Rama, Atma Ramaha. You know, you see, Shankara Bhagavatpada, the whole he talks about Rama here. Really, he also, through the to this verse, he also mentions in how Rama was, na, turbulence free, even when Sita was snatched away by Ravana. Just it's a reference to Ramayana, this verse also. So the ragadveshas will resolve only in the vision of the non-duality of the reality, for which one has to be constantly in Shastra. The total commitment to Shastra also is very important. It's not that easy. No, other commitments. Commitment to Shastra is there, but other commitments also drag. Therefore, it is the vision of the non-duality of the reality. Advaita Drishti alone will help one to resolve these ragadveshas. Okay, this we have already seen, no? This was Radhiji. I even mentioned this last time when he taught this verse, that Lidhika Singh, remember? That Kelati Mamahridaye. I mentioned this. Same verse. Sadashiv Brahmendra refers to Ramayana in his lyric. And Shankara Bhagavatpada uses the same terms here. He also refers to Ramayana. He wants to mention about Rama. He thinks of Rama. Rama, when he was alive, when he was living his life, he was Atma Rama. He was, so many things happened, but he looked like others, in the books of others, he was a disturbed person, but for him really, he was undisturbed person. Actually, through this verse, Shankara also refers to Ramayana here. He presents Rama as a wise person. That is where Rama Shabda is very auspicious Shabda also. The very word Rama. That's why Rama Nama is said to be Taraka Mantra. Taraka Mantra means the mantra, the word Rama itself is a mantra. Which means by repeating that word, no, it will help you to cross, not mechanically, knowing the meaning of the word. The Rama Nama Tarakam. Taraka Mantra means, Taraka means Tarayati iti Taraka Mantraha. Tarati means crosses. Tarayati means makes you cross. It makes you cross what? It makes you cross the ocean of samsara. In Sanskrit language, there's one root, thru root. And from that you get the verb tarati. Tarati means crosses. But you don't cross. Somebody has to help you cross. Then causative is what? Tarayati. So tarakaha, tarakam means what? That which makes you cross is tarakam. So what is Taraka Mantra here? The mantra which helps you cross the ocean of samsara. How? By blessing you with the knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of your real nature. Understand? That's why Rama Mantra is very good mantra. Anyway, so we'll go to the next word. బాహ్యానిత్యసుఖాసక్తిం హిత్వాత్మసుఖనివృతః శశ్వదంతరేవ ప్రకాశతే ఘటస్తదీపవత్ శశ్వత్ ఘటస్తదీపవత్ శశ్వత్ అంతరేవ ప్రకాశతే ఘటస్తదీపవచ్చశ్వదంతరేవ ప్రకాశతే దంతరేవ ప్రకాశతే ఘటస్తదీపవచ్చశ్వదంతరేవ ప్రకాశతే when you put it together, when you split it, it is easy, okay? Very simple, I think. See, బాహ్య అనిత్య సుఖ ఆసక్తిం హిత్వా ఆత్మ సుఖ నివృతః. బాహ్య అనిత్య సుఖ ఆసక్తిం హిత్వా ఆత్మ సుఖ నివృతః. ఘటస్థ దీపవత్ శశ్వత్ అంతరేవ ప్రకాశతే. సో ఆల్ దీస్ వర్సెస్ ఆర్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ అ వైస్ పర్సన్. వి హావ్ సీన్ నో, సో ఐ జస్ట్ స్టార్టెడ్ ద లాస్ట్ వర్స్ అగైన్. దిస్ వైస్ పర్సన్ ప్రకాశతే, హీ షైన్స్. హీ షైన్స్ మీన్స్ వాట్? హీ జస్ట్ హీ ఈస్. హౌ హీ ఈస్ వైస్ పర్సన్ ప్రకాశతే. అంతరేవ ప్రకాశతే, అంతరేవ ప్రకాశతే మీన్స్ హీ జస్ట్ ఈస్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. అంతః మీన్స్ ఇన్సైడ్, ఓకే. అంతరేవ ప్రకాశతే మీన్స్ హీ షైన్స్ ఇన్సైడ్. ఇఫ్ ఐ సే వైస్ పర్సన్ ఈస్ షైనింగ్ ఇన్సైడ్, వాట్ విల్ యూ థింక్? అవుట్ సైడ్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ షైనింగ్, ఇన్సైడ్ హీ షైనింగ్ ఆర్ వాట్? For a wise person, there is no outside, inside. Understand? Antareva prakashate means he always revels in the real nature. See, reveling, see, shining inside is a literal expression, okay, is equal to what it implies is he revels in the very truth. Suppose your attention is in water, okay, it is reveling in the truth. Your attention is on the form and name wave, is it? Your attention is grabbed externally. It's different. So here also, antareva prakashate means, he shining inside means, he revels in the real nature. Revels in real nature means what? Now, he stays with the vision of the truth. He stays with the vision of the truth means what? He is focused. His focus is on the truth. His focus is on the truth. That's what is being with. It's all, see, the words we have to be very careful in. Antareva prakashati means his focus is on the reality and he is himself. We say, no, just be thyself. It's all very funny. People use these expressions, be thyself. Be thyself means what? Very simple expression, isn't it? Be thyself. How can you be yourself? I'm already myself. You say that. I'm myself. I'm not yourself or somebody else. Being yourself means what? Isn't it? Being yourself, being oneself is called antareva prakashate. The wise person is just himself, which means he is objective and he revels in one's own real nature, which means he is focused on the truth. No, he says antareva prakashate. When does he revel in the real nature? Shashvat. Shashvat means what? Ever, always. Shashvat antareva prakashate. Like how? Gatastha deepavat. But can you make out that person is reveling in oneself? See, the wise person revels in oneself means other person cannot make out that other person is reveling in oneself. Okay, Swamiji always talks about it. Now you are enlightened, he is enlightened. How do you know he is enlightened? You loosely use these expressions. We also tell this person is enlightened, he realized the soul. All these things we talk now because we have our own understanding concept of realized the souls, and we cover realized the persons, and we also talk about them. He is realized the soul, he is enlightened person, etc. See, unless you are enlightened, you cannot make other person being enlightened. Very important. This is real blabbering. But here, you know, that's why antare, because you cannot make other person is enlightened. So that's why he says, antareva prakashate means, he shines inside means, he is focused on the truth. He revels in the real nature. He is objective. That means attention has been drawn from the mithya to satya. It does not mean he is not saying mithya. You know, the attention is only on mithya. For ajnani, attention is only on mithya. And mithya is satyam real for him. Whereas for a wise person, attention is drawn from mithya to satyam. Thereby he is able to see mithya as mithya, satyam as satyam. That is what is shining in oneself. For him, the very self is the satyam. The one for whom that self is the truth. For him, the meaning of the word I is the reality for him. Not the body, not the mind, not the senses, not the pranas. For him, the meaning of the word I is consciousness. That alone is satyam for him. That is what is being oneself. That is what is antaha prakashanam. Okay? Antareva prakashate. Yes, he is himself for him. He is the self. Ghatastha deepavatu. Ghataha means a pot. See, inside the pot there is, you keep a lamp. The lamp is glowing, isn't it? There is a lamp inside the pot, it's glowing, but still that light is not seen outside. The lamp is on the top of the pot, it will shine widely. But the lamp inside the pot will never shine outside. Understand? Ghatastha deepavatu. Just as the lamp glowing inside the pot shines only inside. Similarly, for him, he shines inside means what? For him, the truth is the self. Truth alone, the self alone is the truth for him. Everything else other than the self is mithya for him. Nothing else shines for him. Self alone shines for him. The one for whom self alone shines, okay, nothing else shines. Self alone is truth for him. Who is the one for whom self alone shines? The one for whom self alone is the truth. Self alone is the truth means self alone shines. The self alone shines means what? Nothing else shines. Understood. So, the lamp inside the pot, no, the lamp, the flame inside the pot that glows, that alone is glowing. But the pot, it's not seen outside, isn't it? Which means, what does it mean? Actually, what it means here is, nothing else shines for him, self alone shines. That means nothing else is there for him, self alone is. Self alone is means what? Self alone is satyam for him. Self alone satyam means for him the only truth is consciousness, which is of the nature of fullness. Get the meaning? It's very quite profound verses. Otherwise we will think some differently, isn't it? The jnani is like a lamp inside the pot. You shouldn't take that way. For him nothing shines. Self alone shines. So Gatastha Deepavatu Shashvatu Antaha Eva Prakashate. For him the focus is only on the truth. Truth, self alone is the truth. Therefore self alone shines. Nothing else shines. Nothing else is there for him. Second thing other than the truth is not there for him. This is what is explained, revealed by this verse, line. Such a person, the ghatastha, ghataha means pot, ghatastha deepaha means the lamp inside the pot, is ghatastha deepaha. Vat means like. Vat is an indeclinable word, which means like. Gatastha deepavat shashvat. Shashvat means ever, always. Antareva prakashate. Which means for him, no, the attention cannot be shifted from the truth because he cannot miss the vision of the truth. He cannot miss the vision of the truth. See, how many ever waves you see also, you cannot miss the vision of the water. Isn't it? Because once you know water being the truth, you may be seeing the waves, but you cannot miss the vision of the water being the truth. Isn't it? That's called what now? Here, Shashvati Antareva Prakashate. I got it, what I'm saying? Antareva prakashate. Bahya anitya sukha asaktim hitva. Atma sukha nirvrutaha. Bahya anitya sukha. Anitya sukham. Bahya sukham. No? If at all there is any pleasure, there is a pleasure, you know, in experiencing, enjoying the external objects. So the pleasure born of the enjoyment of external things is called what? Bahya sukham. Bahya sukham means there is no sukham outside. There is no pleasure outside. There is no happiness outside. Bahya sukham means what? Enjoyment of pleasure. Enjoyment of external things. You know, results in the experience of time-bound pleasures. So that pleasure is called what now? That pleasure comes and goes. Impermanent, isn't it? Pleasure comes and goes. Why? Pleasure is something which one can experience as a result of enjoyment of something external object. External. So external object, if nothing in the world is permanent, any external object is what? Time-bound in nature. No object is permanent. Any external object is time-bound in nature. It comes and goes. Therefore, the pleasure born of the enjoyment of external object also is what? Time-bound in nature. Therefore, it's anitya sukham. Anitya sukham, sukham, the word should not be taken here as a happiness. Sukham here should take only pleasure. Why? Anitya sukham. Time-bound, temporarily enjoyable pleasure. Why? Because it's born of the enjoyment of external time-bound object. The object goes, the enjoyment of object is not there anymore, pleasure also goes. Therefore, bahya anitya sukham in it, asaktim hitva. Bahya anitya sukha asaktim, asakti means interest. Asakti, interest. Bahya anitya sukha asaktim hitva. Means giving up or having grown out of desire for or having become disinterested in the enjoyment of pleasure, time-bound pleasure born of the enjoyment of external things. Having become disinterested in that. Why? Because nitya atma sukha nirvrutaha. Because he is reveling in the everlasting permanent happiness, which is his own real nature, which doesn't come and go. So he says, Atma Sukha Nirvrutaha. Atma Sukha Nirvrutaha means what now? Being given to, at being satisfied, Atma Triptaha. Atma Sukha Nirvrutaha is equal to Atma Triptaha. Totally satisfied in reveling in one's own nature being fullness. Because one's own nature being for happiness means what? Just doesn't come and go. Is it one's own nature being happiness? Having discovered one's own nature being happiness and reveling in that fullness which is permanent, this person is no more interested in the enjoyment of time-bound pleasure born of the enjoyment of or experience of time-bound external objects. Is it clear now? It's very natural. You need not become disinterested in enjoying the external, the pleasure born of external objects. You cannot also. Once you discover fullness, yourself being fullness, naturally you become disinterested in external pleasures. Because pleasure is a fraction of fullness. When you have the fullness, why should you be interested in fraction anymore? All the fractions put together is what? Fullness. So the person who, for whom fullness is one's own real nature, the one who is reveling in the nature of one's own self being fullness, naturally he is not interested in fractions. Isn't it? That's what he says, they said in the first verse. So reveling in one's own self, being disinterested in enjoyment of pleasure born of the enjoyment of external things, this person revels, he's just himself. He's just himself, like the lamp put within inside the pot is not seen outside. So his even reveling in fullness also is what now? Not perceptible for this. This is a big problem. We want to know the other person is reveling in fullness or not. Then I want to go and get some from him or get something from him. It's all for us to understand. These things are to remove our wrong notions. We have our own concept of enlightened persons and then realized persons. So you look after yourself. You try to become, you become enlightened. You revel in your own self. You discover yourself. You discover yourself being fullness and you revel in your own nature. Don't think, go for anything external. That's the lesson here. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Nirvrita.
Nirvrutaha means triptaha. Totally engrossed in one's own self. Totally given. See, actually, nirvrutaha your mind attention is given elsewhere, you know, everywhere, samvruta, isn't it? Attention is taken from everywhere and totally focused, given to the self, the nirvruta. Atma sukha nirvruta means totally reveling in one's own self, which is fullness, which is happiness, sukham. And naturally, you are not interested in time-bound pleasures. See, one can free oneself from the desire for pleasures or become disinterested in enjoyment of pleasures only when you revel in fullness. Until and unless you revel in fullness, revel in your own self being fullness, you will be interested in pleasures. The pleasure of being with that person, this person, talking to this person, talking to that person, everything is pleasure only. Because some pleasure, there's no pleasure, means why should we crave? There is a pleasure. And through the pleasure we seek, because this we like that, because pleasure is what? Fraction of fullness, isn't it? That's why pleasure is also attractive, because it is a fraction of your own swarupam. You want some for that fraction to surface, and anything which helps you to trigger that, you know, that fraction to surface, and you were interested in. That's why nobody can control. Nothing can be done. That it will drag you. That's why pleasures, objects of pleasures, are, you know, in some form or the other, you seek pleasure in something. I seek pleasure in something. So whatever helps me for my pleasure to surface, because that is a pleasure. Why I do that? Why I do this? Because it's a pleasure for me. If there's no pleasure, we will not go after that. It's a pleasure. We all of us are go after pleasures only. Ultimately, really, really pleasure seekers, because that pleasure we like, because the pleasure also is what. Whenever the pleasure is of the surfaces, the fraction of your fullness surfaces, there's a pleasure. Because that then you are yourself for a short while. You like that for time, you know. For a very short time you are just yourself. And that you like it. That's why we all go for pleasures. Different things. It need not be only one thing. It can be anything. Anything you do for your pleasure. But here, the wise person is who? He says, you know, anitya bahya anitya sukha. Asaktim bahya anitya sukha asaktim hitva. Having given up in his interest in the pleasure born of external things. Totally reveling in one's own nature being fullness, nature of fullness, this person is just himself, shining within himself. Means reveling within himself, reveling in one's own self. Okay, we'll go to next verse now.
उपादिस्तोपि तद्धर्मैः उपादिस्तोपि तद्धर्मैः उपादिस्तोपि तद्धर्मैः नलिप्तो व्योमवन्मुनिः सर्वविन्मूढवत्तिष्ठेत् मूढवत्तिष्ठेत् असक्तो वायुवच्चरेत्.
So, good verse for learning sandhis also. Okay. See, I told you all these verses are talking about the wise person. So this wise person Vayuvat Charet. This yogi, the wise person, the one who knows the truth as one's own self, the one for whom all that is here is only the truth, such a person, was clear vision of the reality. Charet. Charet means he moves about. How does he move about in the world? Vayuvat. Vayuhu means wind. Wind moves all over, but the wind is not touched by anything. Isn't it? Can anyone hold the wind? Feel, no? Nobody can touch the wind. Nobody can cause any harm to the wind. So, Vayuvat, like untainted. Just as the wind moves around, moves about everywhere, it is untainted. So, also this wise person moves about everywhere. He lives his life, but untainted, like the wind. Air. Vayuvat charet. And then, sarva vith, he is all knowing. See, wise person is said to be all knowing. All knowing should not be mistaken that he knows chemistry, biology, medicine, engineering, everything. All knowing means the one who knows the truth of everything. Knowing the truth of everything is as good as knowing everything else. Knowing the truth of everything else, is it? Knowing the source of very knowledge is as good as knowing everything else. Isn't it? Suppose if you know about the water, you need not know about every wave. See, knowing the water being the truth is what now? As good as knowing every wave in the ocean. As good as. Similarly, knowing the truth of the universe as one's own self is as good as knowing everything else. That is why this Atmagyaha, the knower of the self, or the Brahmagyaha, the knower of the reality, is said to be Sarvavith or Sarvagyaha, the knower of everything. Omniscient, no? All knowing, we say. Sarvavith. Moodhavat tishtet. He is all knowing, but he remains like a moodha. Remains like a deluded person. Moodhavat. Moodha means deluded. He is a wise person. He knows the very truth. No? But still, he remains like a deluded person. Which means what? You cannot make out that he knows the Atma. He remains like a mudha means what? Because he cannot really express his vision. Understand? Suppose if you know that I know the truth means, I know the truth. He can't say, I know the truth. He can't say, I do not know the truth also. Why? If he says, I am the truth, who can understand? He cannot say, I know the truth. Nor can he say, I do not know the truth. But if he says, I am the truth, and we'll see him like a mad person now. That is why what now? He doesn't express. So, Moodhavat Tishtet. Atmavit, he knows the truth. How does he know the truth? Now that he cannot say, I know the truth, nor can he say, I do not know the truth, but he has to say only, I am the very truth. Isn't it? Such he is Atmavit. That's what is Atmavit. Sarvavit. And he, Moodhavat Tishtet. He remains like an ignorant person. Asaktaha. Asaktaha. Asakta means untouched, unaffected. Asaktaha means disinterested. Untouched, untainted. வாயுவத்து சரேத். அசக்தக மீன் வாட் அன்டெயின்ட் அன்அஃபெக்டட் அன்டச்ட் ஹி மூவ்ஸ் அபவுட் லைக் த விண்ட், விச் மீன்ஸ் ஹி டஸ் நாட் கெட் அட்டாச் டு எனி திங், நாட் டஸ் ஹி கெட் இன்வால்வ் வித் எனி திங். He is free from likes and dislikes. He has no aversion or passion for anything. He is unaffected. And no situation or no happening, nothing can shake his being also. Because fullness cannot be disturbed. His happiness, being like a wind, being unaffected, unafflicted, untainted, untouched, asaktaha means being, you know, having, because being unaffected means the fullness cannot be disturbed, shaken. Because fullness is very nature. Nothing can disturb his fullness. Nothing can disturb his being full because it's very nature. See, one who remains rooted in the vision of the self being fullness, for such a person, his fullness, being his own nature, cannot be disturbed. One, he's not disturbed means what? Wherever he is, for him, his self is fullness. Therefore, he is not dependent on anything external for his happiness or anything, so nothing can disturb him. See, being disturbed means being dependent. Being disturbed, I'm so clear. That's why I'm surprised. I'm little external means, and I do see my own problem. Being disturbed means being dependent. Being independent means you are undisturbed. Being happy means being undisturbed. Being disturbed means being unhappy. Being disturbed means being dependent. Being dependent means what? You are not independent, isn't it? You are not yourself. If you are yourself, then you are independent. If you are independent means you are not dependent. You are not dependent means you are not disturbed. So this wise person is undisturbed, unafflicted, affected, untainted. So wherever he is, nothing can touch him, shake him like the wind. Like the wind cannot be touched or shaken. Why? Because for him, happiness is the very nature. For him, his vision is rooted in the nature of the self. He is in the vision of the root nature of the self. Therefore, he is asaktaha vayuvat charet. Vayuvat asaktaha charet. And he is sarvavit moodhavat tishtet. He is all-knowing. He knows the truth. All-knowing means what? He knows the truth of the whole jagat. To know the truth of the entire cosmos, all that you need to know is you need to know the meaning content of the I. You need to know the substance of the substantive I. If you know the substance of the substantive I, content of I, you know the truth, the content of everything that is here. Once you know the truth, then you are the truth. Therefore, you remain like an ignorant person because you cannot talk about it. Is it? Mudavat tishtet. But asaktaha vayuvat charet. Because you remain rooted in the vision of the self being fullness, and then nothing, you become independent of everything. The one who, I told you many times this, the one who revels in oneself is the one who revels in fullness. the one who is independent. The one who is independent is the one who can accommodate anything, because one who is not dependent on anything. Then one who, you cannot find fault with anything else also external. You will, if you are independent means you will not find fault. If you are dependent means you will find fault. Understand? If you are reveling in fullness, then you are undisturbed. If you are undisturbed means you are independent. You are independent means you will not find fault with anything in the world. Once you don't find fault with anything means you are accommodative. Accommodative means what? Then you are lovable. Accommodative person is the lovable person. Therefore, you are sense, center of attraction. Therefore, you are beauty. You are beauty, not beautiful. Anyway, so what he says is, Vayuvatushcharet. Hope you got it. Then, Rupadistaha api. Don't think, oh, it is very difficult. Without the body, mind, sense complex, then I can become a wise person. It's impossible. For one to become a wise person, from being ignorant to become a wise person also, you must be endowed with what? Body, mind, sense complex. Because in deep sleep state, when you are not conscious of the body, do you think in deep sleep state somebody can come and teach you Vedanta, you can attain moksha and gain jnanam? Nothing will work, isn't it? So you had to be conscious, you had to be awake also, which means you must, all everything must be functioning, which means you need body, mind, sense complex. Only then you can be taught Shastra. Isn't it? Therefore, he says, the wise person is the one who is still endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, upadis. Upadis taha api. In spite of being endowed with all the upadis, body, mind, sense complex. Wise person means don't think he has to come like a ghost. Okay? Parvi Pooja Swamiji is an example. That's why some people also tell me, he's joking and he's laughing. What is this? How can we say he's an enlightened person? So what do you want him to be then? One lady told me, I know some wise people means they should be sitting like this. He should not talk, he should not laugh. He's sitting, he's laughing, he's joking. How can you say, The people have a funny idea. So here, upadistaha api, even though he is endowed with the body, mind's complex, like any other ordinary human being, ignorant person, any human being is upadistaha. Like wise person also is what now? Is upadistaha. Okay, upadistaha means what? The one who indwells the upadis. Upadistaha means the correct translation is what? The one who indwells the upadis. The one who is endowed with the body, mind, sense complex. No? Upadistaha api. Tad dharmaihi na liptaha. He is not tainted by, touched by, affected by, tainted by the attributes or the nature of the body, mind, sense complex. What does it mean? That dharmahi means, dharmaha means the nature. See, physical body has its own dharma. Mind has its own dharma. Sense powers have their own dharma. Their own nature, isn't it? Dharmahi na liptaha. He is not affected by, tainted by, touched by the attributes of the dharmas of the body, mind, sense complex. What does it mean? He does not superimpose the limitations of the body, mind, sense complex upon the self. He is endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, but he does not superimpose the limitations of the body, mind, sense complex upon the self. That means what? He sees the body's attributes as body's attributes. He sees the mind's attributes as the mind's attributes. He does not think they're all my attributes. Which means he's objective towards his own body mind-sense complex. He's objective towards his own body mind-sense complex. And he sees the limitations of body mind-sense complex as the limitations of body mind-sense complex, not as his own limitations, which means he does not superimpose the limitations upon the self. Why? Because for him he knows self is not the body mind sense complex. Which means he knows the self being consciousness, which is of the nature of fullness. Therefore, upadistaha api. Api means even though he is endowed with the body mind sense complex, tad dharmaihi means tesham dharmaihi, upadinam dharmaihi, by the attributes or the limitations of the upadis, he is not affected. Why? Because he is objective towards the body mind complex, he is objective towards their attributes also, he does not superimpose them upon the self. He does not superimpose the limitations of the upadis upon the self. Why? Because he does not mistake the upadis for the self. Which means he is objective towards the. For him, self is Atma, the consciousness only. Liptaha Vyomavat Munihi. How this Munihi means the one who. Manana Shilaha Munihi. The one who is capable of dwelling upon the nature of the self, thereby one who can remain rooted in the vision of the self is Munihi. This Munihi, the wise person, Vyomavat, Vyoma means space. Vat means like the space, he is not tainted or touched by the upadhi's limitations, in spite of, or even though he is endowed with the upadhi's. Isn't it? The space, in space everything exists. Nothing exists outside of the space. But still space is not affected by the limitations or the attributes of the objects existing in space. Isn't it? Everything is in space only. The color of the object, size of the object, shape of the object, function of the object, nature of the object does not touch, taint, harm, affect the space in any way. Even though it exists in the space. Akashastaha api. Understand? Similarly, akasha, vyoma is not, the space is not affected by anything. Taint, touched by anything. Nothing can touch, harm, disturb, change, bring out anything on the part of the space, isn't it? Similarly, this wise person also, remains untainted, even though he is endowed with body, mind, and complex, is not tainted by the limitations or the attributes of the body, mind, and complex, the upadis, because of his objectivity towards them, because he does not superimpose the limitations upon the self, because he does not mistake the upadis for the self. Because he remains rooted in the vision of the self being Atma, the consciousness, which is free from the upadis.
So, what's aliptaha?
Na liptaha. See, upadistaha api, upadistopi, tad dharmaihi means tesham dharmaihi. Tesham dharmaihi means upadinam dharmaihi. Na liptaha, vyomavat, Kahana liptaha munihi. The wise person is not tainted like the space by the dharmas of the upadis, even though he is endowed with upadis. This is the meaning of the first sentence.
So your text says, Tadharmair.
Tadharmair nalipto. Nalipto.
Nalipto. Ah, okay, it's got alip.
It's okay. That's the ninth of Purusha Samasa. It's okay. That's correct. See, na liptaha, take na aliptaha. Then you have to say, dharmaihi aliptaha. It's okay. Anyway, untainted. Same meaning. Yeah. And this person, sarvavit, mudavat tishtet, asaktaha, vayuvat charet. Isn't it? So untaintedness is not physical. Untaintedness is purely cognitive. Isn't it? Purely intellectual. How one can remain untainted? Being untainted means being unaffected. Being unaffected means being undisturbed. Being undisturbed means being independent. For happiness and fullness. And being independent is possible only if there's a clear vision of the self itself being fullness. Self and fullness, I'm not talking about consciousness, no. Consciousness is something which is already understood. Here fullness is the self. Self is fullness. Atmaiva anandaha. Which is happiness. Happiness is the self. That is why it cannot be accomplished, achieved. The discovery of the self is discovery of fullness. So that is where discovering fullness as one's own self is only way to become, to be independent of everything else emotionally. Your dependence of itself is for happiness only. If you ask this question, what am I dependent on this person for? What am I dependent on this thing for? What am I dependent on anything in the world for? Son or daughter or children or anything else in the world. What am I dependent on? Ultimately, you will say for happiness. But once you know the fact, you know, once you know the happiness is very you, that has that you can't say simply, I am happiness. You have to discover yourself. You discover yourself being happiness, then you don't need to be told that you become independent. You are independent. The very discovery is what? Independence. Discovery of self being happiness is independence. Oh, once I become independent, I should hate them, I should run away from them or what? Even after discovering also, you will be same giving, loving, but non-demandingly, is it? You will be giving. You will be more really loving. When you become independent, you are really loving person. When you are dependent, you think you are loving. You're harassing. The real love is only when you are independently, non-demandingly caring and giving. For which one should remain rooted in the vision of one's own self. Good verse, isn't it?
Upadistopi taddharmaihi nalipto vyomavan munihi sarvavin mudhavattishtet asakto vayuvacharet.
Sarvabhinna means Sarvavitta. So, with this, the wise person's description is over. Next comes the Videha Mukti. He talks about Videha Mukti. See, till now what he talked, no, is sort of a Jivan Muktaha. Jivan Mukti. See, being free while living. How a wise person is free while living. He talked about, when he talks about the wise person, he talks about the Jivan Mukti. The verses discussed about the Jivan Muktaha, the wise person, it talks about the Jivan Mukti. What is freedom while living? One has to be free while living in order to become free after death. You can never become free after death unless you are free when you are living. So, what is Videha Mukti that he is going to talk about later on? What is freedom after death? So, freedom after death is possible only if you are free while you are alive. Without Jivan Mukti, there is no Videha Mukti possible. Okay? So, Videha Mukti we will see next class. It will all add to our clarity. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.